Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when he was in high school, he went out riding dirt bikes with his friends. When riding, suddenly, a strong wind blew up. Shortly after that, he saw a pure white figure on the train tracks, but no one else was around. Who was on the tracks?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and yeah, 855-853-4802, our phone number. To share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. You want access to all of our episodes, ad-free and advanced episodes, and the archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You can check it out on ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, or on Apple Podcasts on our premium channel right there. Tony and Todd with you on today's edition of the program. What's going on?
Stories like this, where it's kind of outside and train tracks, blah, blah, blah. I start to wonder, like, if there's any possibility that we're not talking about ghosts, but maybe we're talking about like UFOs or something otherworldly, and where that line could be, and if they ever kind of intermingle at all.
I've always found train tracks to be very spooky, and I don't know why.
See, my dad worked on the railroad, and there was a lot of death, especially early in the days, right?
Yeah.
When they had people, you know, putting these train tracks in manually. So there was death there. And then there was a lot of accidents and stuff like that before OSHA. So I think, and the energy of the trains themselves,
yeah.
I think there's probably room for some hauntings. And in fact, the National Railroad Museum, which is up this way in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Hugely haunted. So
yeah.
I think you're probably feeling some of that energy.
There's something about them. I just always, you know, and you're right too about maybe alienish and that sort of, because you're outside, you're kind of out in an open space on a railroad track, usually for the most part. At least the tracks have been plowed through woods, but there's an open, I don't know. There's always something interesting about it. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would go, and there was this one spot where there would be a lot of wildflowers that would grow. And she'd go there and pick them, because then she'd put them into wreaths and things like that and then sell them. But while she was doing that, I wouldn't go wander around the train track that was right there. And I remember walking down it quite a ways and always being amazed by how far somebody must have walked down that railroad track carrying old television sets, toilets, bathtubs, all sorts of random shit. That they trashed, but they would go down the tracks a little way, so it wasn't necessarily seen by the road that easily. But it always, like, how did somebody get that much shit down these tracks this far and then dump it all the way down here by itself? Because there wasn't like a road right there where you could just take the truck and just kind of dump it and chuck it. But there would always be that stuff along railroad tracks.
I'm not amazed by this, but slightly amazed that is where your mind goes. How did somebody get this refrigerator down?
It's weird. I mean, and we're talking like 1950s and 60s refrigerators. These things are, they were smaller than what we have today, but they were heavier. They had much more, you know, metal and everything in them. So I don't know. That in itself is a mystery to me. Did like somebody put this shit on the tracks and a train knocked it down? Or were aliens involved and did they beam it up and then beam it down the tracks just a little bit of ways down?
Interesting.
I don't know. Let's go to our caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
My name's Peyton. I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now. Love it. Just keep up the good work. It helps me get through my work day. Love hearing everyone's stories and always been fascinated by paranormal stuff. So thank you guys. I have a quick story for you guys to share with you. It's something that happened to me a few years ago when I was back in high school. So anyway, I was maybe sophomore or junior in high school, and I had a good friend who had some property out in northern Colorado where we lived, and it's probably about 20 or 30 acres, and it was all, typical northern Colorado property, lots of huge trees, had a big river running through the property and everything. And we used to go out there pretty frequently, and we would ride dirt bikes. So one afternoon after school, we went out onto the property and did our usual thing, started riding dirt bikes, and one of them was broken, so we were down to one, and we were just alternating on it, and had a little dune buggy or whatever as well. So we went out there and started riding around. So starts getting a little bit darker. We were out there for a few hours, and it's my turn to ride the bike. So there's a little game trail that goes throughout a large majority of the property, probably stretches at least 2 or 3 miles in total. So we used to just ride along that, build some jumps on it, and what have you. Anyway, so it's my turn to ride the dirt bike, so I'm on our usual little trail that we have, and my buddy's sticking behind back near the house. So I'm riding, it's getting a little bit darker, and this particular trail ran perpendicular with an old abandoned railroad track series that ran through his property as well. So the trail kind of, you know, the whole time you were riding on it, you were also riding with this train track that was up on a hill to your left, or, you know, whichever way you were riding. So I'm riding, and it's getting pretty dark at this point. I'm probably a good mile or so down the trail, and so I decide, you know, okay, well, I'll turn around. It's getting dark. The bike didn't have a light on it or anything. So I turn around, and I start heading back. So I'm coming, and I'm riding for a couple minutes, just taking my time, enjoying the night, and all of a sudden, I just get taken over by this huge breeze, and it's very unusual. You know, it was a very still night, middle of summer, and this overwhelming breeze, and so I actually, it was so strong that I had to stop the bike and chill out for a second, because I couldn't ride. It was going to knock me off the bike, so I stopped. And I just kind of get this really ominous, eerie feeling around me. And so I decide I'm just going to try and ride through it. You know, I didn't want to be alone. I was, you know, a little high schooler out in the middle of this property. I just decide I'm going to ride through it. So I'm riding, and there's this one part of the trail where it dips down into this, like, ravine almost. And it goes for maybe about 100, 200 feet down in this little ditch. And on either side of you, you know, there's 3-4 feet tall grasses. So you can't, when you're down in there, it's kind of like you're secluded and you can't see anything outside of you. So, the wind's dying down. I'm riding, and I get down into this ravine, and, I come up out of it. And as soon as I come up out of it, I look to my right, which is where the train tracks are at this point. And, plain as day, you know, even in the darkness, I can make out plain as day this, white figure, pure white. And I can clearly see he's maybe, 200-300 feet away from me, sitting up on the train tracks. And, you know, mind you, train tracks are at ground level. So, you know, I could make out his knees, and I could make out, like almost a hoodie or like a robe, just illuminating white. So, in the moment, I didn't feel afraid or scared or anything. It was just very strange to me. So I keep riding. At this point, I'm very close to my friend. So I get back, and he's on his phone and just hanging out. And I tell him about the winds and how, you know, how crazy it was. And, then I tell him that I also saw what looks like a person who was sitting up on the train track. And, I asked him if he knew anything about it or who it might be. And, he was, you know, he just looked a little puzzled, or, you know, what are you talking about? And, I said, well, you know, and his dad has a construction company, mind you, so they have workers on and off the property intermittently. And, I asked him, you know, could it be one of your workers? And he's like, no, you know, they all went home at like 1 or 2. So, you know, at this point, I'm kind of like, all right, well, what could it possibly, or who could it possibly be? So we head back inside, and we tell his parents, and his mom is just kind of listening to me telling the story, and she's kind of just looking like disbelief, you know, like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? And as soon as I mention, you know, the person to her, she immediately says, well, you know, this area of land used to be an Indian burial ground or, you know, what have you, settlement. You know, as soon as I got that, I just ran with it. We immediately got online and started doing some research, and we actually found that she, you know, her information was accurate. You know, we looked at all the records from that area of land, and it actually gave us a specific tribe name that, you know, settled in that area. So we punched that tribe name into Google Images, and the very first picture that comes up is a group of maybe 5 or 6 Indians standing in a circle holding hands, all wearing, you know, pure white robes. So I was a little, you know, I was a little petrified, and, you know, still to this day, it's one of my best stories and my greatest experiences, being able to witness that and having that concrete evidence, you know, firsthand and fact checked and everything. So, you know, that was really cool. Just thought I would share that with you. I know I kind of rambled on for a little bit, so I apologize. It's kind of a lengthy story, but yeah, keep up the great work, guys. I really enjoy your show, and thanks.
Thanks for sharing that. It's always creepy to think about being on land that is a burial ground, whether that be an Indian burial ground, Native American burial ground, or I think quite often what we overlook is that we've had, through expansion of cities and stuff, built quite a bit on burial grounds, but we don't really realize it sometimes.
Yeah, even in the city that I'm at, I did some research on little graveyards and stuff like that, cemeteries. And then you find out, well, this whole area was built on top of a cemetery. And yes, they did move some of them to a new location, but some of them, they just said, what the heck? We'll put up this college here, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You're right. That happens a lot. I got to say hats off to this guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first thing you could say is, oh, woman in white, she was killed on the tracks. Like, you can make up the whole story in your mind.
Sure.
He goes and does some research and finds a possible, we don't know for sure, but a possible connection with Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Now, I like that kind of stuff. That's somebody who, like, takes it above and beyond just, hey, this was a freaky story. I'm going to check out what this could possibly be. So hats off to him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it's very interesting when you can dig into it at that level and then really kind of find out more truth to, you know, what happened there when you're trying to find those sort of answers. If you ever notice in cities, usually in cities that have grown quite a bit over the course of the last, I don't know, 50 years, sometimes you'll see cemeteries and you'll find, like, big thoroughfares directly through those cemeteries kind of in the city area. And it's kind of strange. It's like there's a cemetery on the right side of the road and the left side of the road, and it's really tight, mm-hmm. really tight, close to that road. Now, do you honestly think they went through and moved every single one of those bodies that would have been there? Because that cemetery didn't always have that road there. It's usually the case in most cities. In some places, yes, they have. And others, no, they haven't.
Yep. Exactly.
And yeah, unfortunately, the reality is once people have stopped visiting specific graves, especially ones that get a certain age, you know, the stones fall over, it gets dilapidated. And depending on your city zoning laws and rules and all of that, sometimes there's laws that prevent people from building on grave sites. Sometimes there isn't. You just kind of got to check locally and see what it is.
And the one word that kind of decides whether or not they're going to do it is money. Like, can they 100%. Save money by doing it? And also, can they make money by doing it? It's going to happen.
Because if nobody's there to complain other than some people like us who are like, no, respect these graves. But if, like, their direct family's, like, not around doing anything, there ain't a lot that's going to stop it. There's the weirdest, and I've mentioned this on the show before, there's a cemetery here in my area. I'm in Northwest Arkansas, in the capital of where Walmart is at. So we have, there's like Walmart City basically within our cities here. But there's this one area, big old cemetery, really old gravestones, middle of the city. And you can tell it's like a rectangle plot of land. It took up like a whole block. But for some reason, on the corner of this whole block, there's now an Aspen Dental. The most, you know, manufactured chain dental place that I've ever seen. I've not said anything bad about Aspen Dental. I've never used them. But it is weird that there's a dental practice right in the corner of this cemetery. And you just know, like, okay, I don't think, like, the graves just stopped, like, in this corner where you built the Aspen Dental place. I can't imagine that there was plotted that way to just have this open space, and now it happens to be an Aspen Dental there. I don't know. Maybe the cemetery groundskeeper's house was there once. I don't know, but I do find it a bit odd.
They have the most realistic false teeth of any of the Aspen Dentals in America. We don't know why, but maybe one day we'll figure it out.
They're not the whitest, but they're the most realistic looking.
That's right. Yeah.
You can get what you can get. They got a 2-for-1 special going on. And let me tell you about it. When there's fresh deliveries, those are the ones to get. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of the show. If you want to share your ghost story with us, check it out at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get bonus episodes, advanced episodes, ad-free episodes on Apple Podcasts and our premium channel right there. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.